Welcome back to the Livin' La Vida Low Carb Show with Jimmy Moore. And today I am so pleased to welcome to the show a gentleman by the name of Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He is a medical doctor who is one of the leading integrative physicians in the country. He is the medical director of the National Fibromyalgia and Fatigue Centers and the author of a best-selling book called From Fatigued to Fantastic. His brand new book, which we're going to talk about today, is called Beat Sugar Addiction Now, the cutting edge program that cures your type of sugar addiction and puts you on the road to feeling great and losing weight. He's been on lots and lots of media, and today he's here with us on the Livin' La Vida Low Carb Show. Dr. Teitelbaum, welcome.
Jeremy, pleasure to be with you.
Well, tell us a little more about yourself. How did you get involved with wanting to be in the health industry? And specifically, what was it that drew you to the subject of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia?
Well, for CFS and fibromyalgia, I got into it the old-fashioned way, which is basically got it myself. Came down with what I call the drop-dead flu during medical school, and basically knocked me out of med school and left me homeless for a good part of the year. The funny thing is I learned more about how to treat these illnesses effectively while I was homeless, sleeping in parks from people I would meet, than I did from the esteemed professors in medical school. And God bless them, they're really smart professors, but absolutely clueless about chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and sad to say also about things like nutrition and such. So I was a patient, and that helped me learn. That got my interest as well.
Yeah. And so you started a website called Vitality101.com to help patients and even help their doctors of these patients, I guess, get educated on what the real reasons behind CFS and fibromyalgia really are.
Absolutely, Jimmy. It's an interesting thing in medicine. If there is no expensive medication for something, the doctors simply won't care about it. And it's not that there's any bad guys. It's just that it costs about $800 million to get FDA approval for a single medication, and you have to get that to be able to advertise a given medical treatment or at least a new medication, which means if something is cheap, your doctor won't have a clue about it. Now we have three new expensive medications for fibromyalgia, so they're spending $210 a year advertising them and advertising fibromyalgia, so it will gain credibility to the doctor since there's money behind it. But our game was, how do you make effective treatment available for 50 million people worldwide when there's no money behind behind a new medication? So what we did was we used the internet, created a computerized physician. I actually hold the patent in the U.S. on a computerized doctor for this, which people can go on the website. They can put in their symptoms. It'll elicit the symptoms. If they have labs, they can put in the pertinent labs, although they don't need the laboratory testing for it. It'll analyze it all, tell them exactly what's causing their chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia, tailor a treatment protocol just to their case. That'll say exactly what they need to do to get well. And this way, we could reach everybody on the planet. So this is something that people have been using. And when they say, well, I don't have a doctor who has any clue, they can go online and do this. They have all the information they need to get well. So this is a fun thing for us. And we realize people with this illness often are dirt poor because they're sick of dogs. Like say, when I had it, I was homeless. And I ate when people fed me if I was hitchhiking or something like that. So what we did is we made this computer program available for everybody to do for free. There's no charge for it. So that's been our hobby the last 35 years, making effective treatment available for 50 million folks.
Yeah. And you've even made an iPhone app. I downloaded the Cures A to Z iPhone app that is also a free app that has all kinds of information about anything and everything symptom-wise. You guys really did a great job with that.
Well, thanks. That's now passing the 1 millionth download.
Wow.
So about a million people downloaded it. And it's like having a holistic doctor in your pocket. Whatever you have, from acne to zoster, you just look it up. They'll give you a quick background and say, here are the natural things that will help you get well. And they'll also say, here are the medications that are thumbs up, and here are the ones that are thumbs down.
Yeah.
So it's basically, our job as a patient advocate gets you the information you need right away and easy.
So do you see holistic medicine being the wave of the future in medicine, or are we going to keep on pumping out doctors who are pill subscribers primarily?
our current system is going bankrupt. At its current rate of growth, we will be spending more on healthcare than our total income combined, and not just in the future. Mm-hmm. So it is, right now, basically the piggies are trying to empty the trough as quickly as they can before the trough busts to pieces. And they're going to, but the system will bankrupt. And there are other approaches that will need to come in. So, yes, I think holistic medicine is a wave of the future. I think there's a lot of different waves that will be helpful. You know, if somebody is on the street with their heart stop, I don't want somebody doing acupressure on them and going, wah, 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 wah. I want CPR, and I want, you know, my cardioversion kit, and I want the whole thing.
Right.
On the other hand, when somebody is past the acute phase, I want the natural medicines, I want the rest. So these two go hand in hand. The problem is that they're out of balance right now.
Hmm. Well, let's talk about your brand new book called Beat Sugar Addiction Now. Why is sugar, and even to an equal degree, white flour, so addictive? Why are people pumping this stuff into their bodies day after day after day, Dr. Teitelbaum, like there's no tomorrow?
Well, there's two things to it. One, what's your old Pink Floyd song, like money, 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 honey. You know, it's like, you know, it's funny. I'm on with Dr. Oz up here, and his daughter wrote this book, and it's really sweet, and she has a simple question, which is, why does processed food cost less than the original food?
Right.
It's a really brilliant question. It boggles the mind. If you take a food and you put it through a lot of processing and work, that food should cost more. But it doesn't. It costs way less.
Right.
Why? Because that food is full of, what's the term, taka? No, it's basically, they just dump it full of sugar and flour, which is nutritionally garbage,
right.
But they're cheap. And basically, one-third of our calories are coming from white sugar and white flour. And at that point, our metabolism, this is just all basically sugar at the end of the day, and our metabolism gets hooked on it. And there's four different kind of addictions. We'll go through that. And the key is that if you just say stop sugar, and you've seen this with people you work with, it's like saying stop heroin. Ain't going to happen.
Right.
But if you treat the cause of the addiction, all of a sudden the cravings go away. Then they can stop sugar easily, and most importantly, people will feel dramatically better overall.
You know, Dr. Teitelbaum, anybody that says they're not addicted to sugar, I say, okay, don't have any for the next 30 days and come back to me. Because I've been through it. You know I have. When I went on my diet to lose weight, I basically cut cold turkey, cut out the sugar. And, I mean, oh, my gosh, I thought I was going to die the first few days. Because you really do have withdrawal symptoms, probably as bad or worse than the hardest drug you can think of.
I would tell people, like, the first 10 days, 7 to 10 days, if I'm in the parking lot and I shoot a headlights coming at me in a car, I'm diving for cover. But, you know, after that, they usually feel a whole lot better.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It does get better.
Yeah. And the thing, Jimmy, though, is if you treat, like, say, one of the, if you see what type of sugar addiction type you have, there's four main types, and you treat that, that withdrawal becomes so much easier. You're looking at 2 to 3 days, and it's kind of mild.
Yeah.
So it does make all the difference.
Well, you've mentioned it a couple of times, and it is part one of your book. So let's go ahead and get into what you describe as the problem. And there are four types of sugar addiction, which you outline. Type number one is sugar, the energy loan shark, chronically exhausted and hooked on quick hits of caffeine and sugar. So go ahead and tell us about type ones.
Absolutely. I mean, type one is basically the person out there who's just tired and they're looking to get an energy fix by chugging down the sugar, whether it's in the form of sodas, whether it's in so-called energy loan shark drinks like Red Bull and others that are full of sugar and caffeine. People are tired, and they need something for an energy boost. But like any other loan shark, it's going to drag them down at the end of the day and cost them more than it's giving. So if you're basically you're taking it because you're tired, remember the letters SHINE, S-H-I-N-E, what they call the SHINE protocol.
Yep.
This is a way that they stimulate energy production in your body, and for those of you with mild fatigue, and I don't want to say mild, but with not leading a bedridden type fatigue, let's put it that way. Right. Whether you're soccer moms or, you know, working really hard trying to make a go of it these days and, you know, doing the kids and everything at the same time, it just keeps, life keeps you busy. So if you get S stands for sleep, you want to get your at least 7 to 8 hours sleep a night. And some people, most people are not getting that. They're getting an average of about 6.5 hours sleep a night. Mm. If you look 100 years ago, the average night sleep in the United States was 9 hours a night.
Wow.
So we have taken a 30% pay cut when it comes to sleep, and we're feeling it, not just in terms of energy, but infections, pain, brain fog. So you want to start making time for sleep. And people say, I have no time for that. How can I do that? And I say, well, let's take a look at what you're spending your time on that you don't like doing. So I ask them, do you watch CNN or Fox or MSNBC at nighttime? And they go, well, yeah, I've got to stay informed of what's happening in the world. And then I just laugh at them and say, do you really think that's informing you? You know, just switch back and forth between those channels and you realize, you know, two of them at least are wrong because you think they're on different planets when they're reporting it. And I'll tell you a secret. All three of them are basically nonsense that's meant to entertain. So, you know, if it feels good to watch news, and I'm on CNN, I'm on Fox, I'm on Today Show, and God bless them, they're sweet folks. But most of the stuff, it's just meant to entertain and mostly to make you scared. So, you know, watch it for 5 minutes. It'll give you a quick overview. When it stops feeling good, turn it off and take that extra hour that you spent biting your nails, feeling lousy, watching it, and go to sleep. And I'll say that for school meetings and other things. I want people to take the things they don't like. Don't take the things you like and get rid of them. Get the things you don't like. Make a list of things that feel lousy and cut them loose. Mm. And you're going to have time for sleep and also to have time to have a life.
Wow.
So these type 1s, how many of them would you say, percentage-wise, are type 1 that have to have that energy boost?
Well, you're looking at probably about a good third of Americans just feeling really, really tired.
Wow.
Now, most people, I mean, who have you talked to lately who would tell you that they don't need more energy? Right? So most of us could use more, but about a third of Americans are just dragging, I mean, really severely. So, so basically, you're tired, you're reaching for coffee, and I don't mind doing a cup of coffee in the morning or a cup of tea, but you're taking coffee through the day, you're taking, getting your sugar thing, get your sleep, get nutritional support. It's ironic, you know, I've been telling people for years to avoid sugar except for chocolate. I looked at those two magic words. I think dark chocolate in moderation is healthy. But we recently finished another study that's on the edge of being published at this point, where there's 257 patients, 53 doctors, where we gave a special sugar called ribose, and their people's energy went up an average of 61%. Ribose is a negative glycemic index food,
right.
Does not cause yeast to grow, so it actually turns out to be a healthy sugar, and it's a nice simple way that people can boost energy. But I think the nutrition, you know, for those of you who are tired, here's some simple things to do. One, we talked about cutting your sugar. It'll be easier when you do the rest of this. Two, you want to go ahead and increase water intake. Many of you are dehydrated. You find when you're tired, just drink a big glass of water, 8 to 12 ounces, and see how your energy feels 3 minutes later. You'll be pleasantly surprised. So for a lot of folks, just staying hydrated with water makes a big difference. There's a vitamin powder called the Energy Revitalization System. It's very easy. Most health food stores have it. You take one scoop, add water. I throw a scoop of ribose in the morning with it. It gives outstanding overall nutritional support. We'll give people a really good energy boost. I will say, by the way, and Jimmy, I think you know my policy. I don't take money from any drug companies or natural product companies. I work for the patient advocate. So this way, I don't have to be bashful when I give things a big thumbs up or a big thumbs down.
Sure.
So if you do that simple nutritional approach, you're going to find that your energy is going way higher. So get your sleep, get some good nutritional support, stay hydrated, and then get some exercise outside in the sunshine. And most of you out there who are tired are going to find your energy is going to start going way up just for those simple things.
Hmm. Wow.
So that's the type 1, the 33% of the population that's dealing with all that, that needs those remedies. What about type 2 sugar addiction, the feed me now or I'll kill you, when life stress has exhausted your adrenal glands? It looks like these are the people who are stressed out.
Absolutely. And these are the people who get irritable when hungry.
Yeah.
And you know those types. And, you know, it's like a light switch goes off and the people around you realize they have 3 minutes to feed you or you will kill them, that kind of thing.
Kicking in. Right? Hypoglycemia.
Yeah. The low blood sugar, exactly. And what happens is we have adrenal stress handler glands. These are the ones that handle our day-to-day stress. And with the stress of modern life increasing, a lot of people are finding those adrenal glands are exhausting. So what happens, your blood sugar drops. Normally the adrenal would support it, keep the blood sugar from dropping too low. It's pooped out, and you go on what I call the sugar roller coaster. You get irritable. You get this, I want a gallon of sugar now. People drink all the sodas. They do the rest. Get your sugar back up. You feel better for a couple minutes, an hour. But all of a sudden, now your body is responding to all the sugar, like throwing the sugar back down again, and literally a sugar roller coaster. Mm. So if you're going to marriage counseling, divorce lawyers right now, try the simple thing. You know, whether it's you or your spouse or your friends who have this, when you get irritable or they get irritable, eat something. Hmm. And you'll find that all it takes is one or two Tic Tacs, not the ones without sugar, but the, you know, a little bit or half a teaspoon of sugar under the tongue is enough to break the attack without putting on the sugar roller coaster. And then eat something with high protein, because the protein will give you sustained, stable sugar for hours to come, where these high sugar things are just driving metabolism nuts.
Right, right. Yeah, nice little process known as gluconeogenesis. Thank you, protein.
Indeed.
Love that. Love that process. So people who say they stress eat, that's basically the type 2s we're talking about.
Yeah, the ones who get irritable, and a lot of that is going to be the stress eating. So they want to distinguish this because they're tired or because they're irritable, and that'll tell you if you're a type 1 or a type 2.
Yeah. Now, this next one, type 3, is, I think, a growing category, the happy ho-ho hunter, sugar cravings caused by yeast and candida overgrowth. I think this is something that more and more people are becoming aware of, Dr. Teitelbaum.
Absolutely. And, well, most people except for doctors.
Right.
In medicine, we still have this thing, if there's no test for it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And it's in the years when I was in medical school, they're just taking people, and for those women out there who are tired of the doctor saying, you know, your tests are normal, so you're crazy. Not in those words, but you can see it in their eyes and their expressions. Realize you're not alone. I just want to give a little historical perspective here. Back when I was in medical school, most women who had lupus were being told they're crazy because there were no tests. Mm. And when I was in med school, when they came out to the first test, they said, oh my God, these women actually have lupus. They're not crazy. Before that, women with multiple sclerosis used to be called hysterical paralysis. Then you've had rheumatoid arthritis. When the rheumatoid arthritis, big swollen, deformed joints, the doctors would say the tests are normal, you're crazy, there's nothing wrong with you. Mm. And now they're doing the same thing with fibromyalgia, and they're doing the same thing with people who have candida, yeast overgrowth infections, and their sinus and gut. So for those of you out there who have chronic sinusitis or chronic nasal congestion, you get post-nasal drip a lot, you're clearing your throat a lot. Those of you who have spastic colon or irritable bowel, you get gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, and the doctor doesn't know why. Most often, this is coming from overgrowth of candida. We're not talking about, you know, down in that land, down under kind of yeast infection. But it's the same bug in the gut and in the sinuses. And they grow by eating sugar. Mm. Sugar is food for yeast. And you give your body a lot of sugar, and those yeast in your gut are going to be partying. And when they party, what do? They make billions of little baby yeasties, and you're going to start to get dragged down from it. But the other thing is they have learned to put out the chemical that says, feed me.
Yeah.
So you get the yeast overgrowth, and it's like they're all cranking out this chemical saying, sugar, 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 and you're going to the cabinet looking for something sweet to eat.
Wow. Wow. Now, is this where prebiotics come into play?
Prebiotics, probiotics, and antifungals. Because if you think about it, Jimmy, there are more bacteria in a healthy gut than there are cells in your entire body. You're talking trillions of the little buggers that live in harmony with us.
Yeah.
And the problem is that yeast is not meant to be one of those in any large amount. It's normal to have little bits. And so we are now getting massive, massive overgrowth of those. So what you want to do is put healthy bacteria back in. That's what probiotics are. And they're healthy bacteria that fight the yeast. And prebiotics are food for the healthy bacteria.
So what are some foods that people need to avoid that they may not realize have yeast in them?
You don't have to avoid the yeast. That's a good thing, Jimmy. It's kind of like if you have strep throat, which is a bacterial infection. You don't have to sterilize your food to avoid getting anything with strep in it.
Right.
The problem with the yeast is that you just got to stop feeding the little buggers, which means you got to cut out the sugar. And then there's natural things you can do to knock them out. There's a host of natural herbals and herbal oils, and there's all kinds of different antifungals. But this is a case where I'm going to use a medication called Diflucan. It's a safe antifungal, and you take it for 6 weeks, not for one day like they do for vaginal yeast infections, but for 6 weeks, and people find their sinusitis goes away, their spasticolon goes away, their pain often goes away, their energy comes up, their sugar cravings go down. So, and the book talks about, you know, a step-by-step program for how to treat that.
Right.
And then you take the probiotics with it. And the vitamin powder I mentioned actually has a lot of prebiotics in it. It's really loaded with that as part of the nutrients that are in it. So these are basic things, and the way that, and for those who are listening, the way that you tell if you have sinusitis, nasal congestion, or irritable bowel syndrome, you've probably got the yeasty beasties, and you're going to feel so much better when you get rid of them.
The yeasty beasties. You're hilarious. Now, there's one more sugar addiction type we have not talked about. Type 4 is where you're depressed and craving carbs, sugar cravings caused by your period, menopause, or andropause. Tell us about this one.
Well, this is for folks who are entering usually their 40s or 50s. Their estrogen levels are starting to drop, progesterone, and then testosterone levels are starting to drop. And these really can affect mood quite a bit. So what you'll find, especially in women, is that if estrogen is dropping too low, then women are going to get depressed. That's when, you know, you walk into the bar and you say, give me a pint, bartender, and he pulls out a pint of Ben and Jerry's. You know, he knows they're ready. or you'll find if the progesterone is dropping too low, you're going to be anxious. Progesterone is like the body's natural Valium. So depending on which of the two major hormones are dropping as you enter perimenopause, you can see anxiety or depression. And initially, if you give sugar, those are going to feel better. But what happens after a little while is it actually puts you on a vicious cycle going downhill, and it makes the depression and anxiety worse. So you're stuck with a sugar habit, and you're stuck with ever-worsening depression and anxiety. So the way that you tell, and again, it's important for women to know that if you go to the doctor and you say, nah, I'm entering perimenopause, the doctor's going to do a test called the FSH and LH. That test takes 5 to 12 years of estrogen deficiency before it starts to become abnormal, which means the testing will not pick it up until it's very, very late in the game.
Wow.
They want it to be so late that they can guarantee you you're not going to get pregnant and they won't get sued because you do. So they're gonna say it's all the game, that part of the game is done. But the in-between phase, where women spend, you know, most of their 40s, good part of their 50s, the testing won't tell you. But the way that you tell, and it's very straightforward, is that estrogen and progesterone drop around your periods. So if you find that your symptoms of depression, fatigue, insomnia, achiness, brain fog, I'm not talking PMS, although we talk about that in the book too, but those general feelings of just, don't want to get out of bed in the morning, are hitting around your period, that suggests that you're estrogen deficient, and simple support can make a big difference for how your body feels.
Hmm. So each of these particular sugar addiction types, you give a test for people to kind of go down this checklist of things and see where they fit. And like for type 1, do you feel tired a lot of the times? Do you need coffee to get jump started? Do you experience a mid-afternoon slump? So forth and so on. You give them specific questions with point values attached to it. And then at the bottom, there is a score where they can fit in a range of really this is not a problem. And then another phase where this could help you. The tips in this chapter could help you, but you're not really bad yet. And then there's bad. And have you found that some people are multiple types?
Absolutely. Because what's going to happen is as you get the sugar cravings, one type of sugar addiction or problem can start to morph and actually cascade into the next. Mm-hmm. So for people with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, and the way you can tell this is basically you have a paradox that they can't sleep even though you're exhausted. Now think about it. They're exhausted. They have a weekend off. You should sleep all day and all night. But people with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, they've basically blown a fuse called the hypothalamus that controls sleep.
Right.
And they can't sleep worth a lick. So if you have that can't sleep even though you're exhausted and stayed for months and it doesn't go away despite vacation, especially if you ache all over, you've probably got CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, or fibromyalgia. And in those cases, we find that most people have three or four of the sugar addiction types. They just cascaded one to the other. So we talked about SHINE earlier.
Right.
And our research has shown that 91% of you out there who have chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia will get a lot better, basically a 90% increase in quality of life on average by treating SHINE, sleep, hormonal support, infections, nutritional support, and exercise as able. Not too much exercise, you crash. And it's a fascinating thing. You do these things, your immune system starts to pick up. You start knocking out all these infectious hitchhikers that were there that a normal, healthy immune system will get rid of. And people finally get the life back. They feel a whole lot better.
It's amazing how much the body will heal itself if you just treat it properly.
Yeah, if you give it what it needs and get the heck out of the way.
Yeah.
The old saying is 80% of people will get better despite what doctors do to them. Yeah, if you do that.
Yeah, that's more true than we want to believe, but yeah, you're right. Now, we've already talked about the solutions to a lot of these different types of the sugar addiction, but let's talk about in part three where you talk about treating health problems associated with sugar addiction. And there are a lot of health issues that if people realized, Dr. Keitelbaum, just how much sugar was negatively impacting various aspects of their health, I think they'd avoid it like the plague.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially once you get rid of the addiction part of it. It's just nasty. And now you have heroin addiction, you got cigarettes, you got narcotics, you got sugar.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
And but people don't usually lump in sugar. In fact, I was playing Family Feud the other day on Facebook. They have a little game that lets you play Family Feud, and it says, what is something besides alcohol, tobacco, and drugs that people get addicted to? The very first thing that came to my mind was sugar. It wasn't even on the board. It wasn't even among the survey answers at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like shocked because people just don't know.
Well, Jimmy, it's funny. You know, if any folks have gone to an AA meeting, it looks like a little M&M and Twinkie party. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, you have that cross addiction between the sugar and the alcohol. But what's even more scary is if you go to the national meetings of the clinical nutritionists, you know, these are the main hospital and other nutritionists. It's like a sugar orgy. It's amazing. I mean, these things are funded by, you know, the Nestle company and all these other food processors, and it's like they have Sugar Mountain. It's like Candy Cane Village. It's insane. And they don't even think. They're sitting there guzzling down Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And that's almost a spoon of sugar per ounce. You know, you get one of those 60-ounce Big Burps, that's 45 spoons of sugar.
Yeah.
And these are the experts.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell you.
May God save us, you know.
God help us all. No wonder though, we can't get good advice. So, yeah, I go to some of these obesity conferences from time to time, about once a year, and it's the same thing. You look at the fare, and I know it's just what the hotel puts out there, but you would think, I mean, that they're focused on health and nutrition and trying to help people with obesity. They wouldn't be serving, you know, donuts and muffins and all croissants and all these things that are just loaded with sugar and high fructose corn syrup and white flour. It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, I call it stuff by donuts. It's just, it's, you know, and I want people to know I'm not against people having any sugar. I mean, Jimmy, I'm probably a little more easygoing on this end than you are, because there's some people who need to cut all the sugar out. It's an addiction where if they have any, they're going to be right back into it. But a lot of people find that if they put it in moderation, from my thing, for I like people to put dessert and the sugar back in dessert where it belongs, take it out of the main dish and have it in small quantities. And my wife and I, my wife's more kind of your thing. She, sugar will never pass her lips. It hasn't for 30 years.
It
won't. She knows that if she has one spoon, she can be back on it. So she has none. Where for me, if I'm out and I see dessert, I'm going to have, you know, one or two bites and savor it with no guilt, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's different, and people will know what works for them. It just, they know better than anybody because they've been there, they've done it. But, you know, you look out there, though, I'll tell you, you know, most of the people that are, I worked in the hospital nutrition committee for a number of years until I got so disgusted. Because the clinical nutritionists were going to make sure that nothing beneficial for people's nutrition ever happened.
Mm.
And these are well-meaning people, but like I said, their education, just like our education as physicians is paid for almost exclusively by the drug companies, their education is paid for by the food processors.
Yeah.
Scary.
Very scary indeed. Now, before we get into the symptoms, I wanted to ask you, are there acceptable sugar alternatives?
Absolutely. And that's why I want people to keep pleasure. If I teach your listeners how to live to 120 years old by cutting out everything in life they enjoy, why should they bother? Who wants to live that long? They can't have fun. So I think pleasure is good. But there's ways. Stevia, I think, is a very good natural sweetener, but you got to get a brand that tastes good.
Right.
And there's Stevia by Body Ecology, there's Stevita, there's Whole Leaf, there's a number of good ones. They're filtered, they taste really good.
Have you tried Truvia?
Truvia and Purvia are a combination of both Stevia and erythritol.
Right.
And both of those are very good as well. There's still companies, it's funny because that's basically Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah.
That they're talking about.
That's right.
And, you know, I basically approached them about, you know, and I felt like I was, you know, approaching the devil kind of a thing. I wouldn't take money from them because when I work with companies like that, my stuff goes straight to charity. It's like mob money. I don't want to touch it. But those are two good products that can be very helpful. Erythritol is what's called the sugar alcohol. You also have xylitol. That can be very good. So the ones that end in OL don't seem to have the same problem. Main downside, a little bit of a laxative effect. So if you're getting,
maltitol is rough. I've tried maltitol, and just a little bit of that will give me gas for hours.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, that's the best sweetener for sugar-free chocolate. So basically, you know, I've learned, I have five kids, and you learn from the babies. They pass gas, they smile, you know. So just be in a well-ventilated area.
TMI. Well, let's talk about some of the health problems associated with sugar addiction, because a lot of my listeners will see themselves in this and what they can do to help overcome them. The obvious one that comes to mind is obesity, because that's kind of what a lot of people that you know, try to start on a sugar-free or low-carb type of plan, they go on it because they're fat.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us how... I guess basically overcoming a sugar addiction can help with obesity.
Well, let me give you a simple thing.
Okay.
When you go to 4-H and the farm conventions and things like that, and you ask the farmers, how do you fatten up an animal? they say, well, that's simple. You carbohydrate load them. Don't you know nothing? Yeah. And, you know, we've had experts in medicine arguing for centuries. You just ask the farmers. They know how you fatten up an animal. And people are no different. You carbohydrate load somebody, they're going to blimp. And that's because when you give carbohydrates, your body responds by making insulin. Insulin has a couple jobs. One, it basically is like a key that opens up the furnaces in your cells so you can shove those calories into the cells to burn for energy. And then any that you can't burn gets shoved into fat. And so more insulin, more fat production. And people who have a lot of sugar get what's called insulin resistance. The body gets kind of beef to hearing it, won't hear it. And it says, what? And your body says, more insulin. And it says, what? And all of a sudden, you're blimping up like a balloon.
Yeah. Wow. And so what are some of the remedies for that besides, I guess, the obvious trying to kick the sugar? What can people do to prevent that blimping from happening?
Well, you know, we talked, like I say, about cutting out the sugar that's driving it. But it's amazing that you're going to see that, for example, in chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, we did two studies that showed an average 32-pound weight gain in people with these diseases. And it's not because they're eating more or eating worse. It's because their metabolism is a mess. So you want to look at the most common causes of weight gain. And number one would be low thyroid. Thyroid is like the thermostat in your house, the gas pedal in your car. It says how much fuel is turned into energy. And when it's stuck and it's not working properly, all of a sudden you can't burn the fuel for energy and it turns into fat. And people say, oh, well, I had a thyroid blood test and the doctor said it was normal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say you believe them, and they go, fuck no, the doctor's an idiot. And so is the test. The test missed not just some people with low thyroid, but the vast majority of people who need thyroid hormone will have normal testing. And I go into this with a book, and it's just doctors don't know the difference between a normal blood test and a healthy blood test. So how do you tell if you need thyroid hormone? Really easy. Tired, achy, weight gain, cold intolerant. Sound like you. You got two or three of those. Infertility, miscarriages, thinning hair. But basically, if you're tired, weight gain, cold intolerant, you need a trial of thyroid hormone, preferably the natural bioidentical thyroid hormone by prescription. And all of a sudden, people find, my God, my weight can come down. Now, your doctor, most doctors are going to be trained, well, who needs to listen to a patient? I got that blood test. So if you have one of those, get a holistic doctor. There's a website, www.holisticboard.org, not .com, .org, mm-hmm. And you'll have over 1,400 holistic physicians that are board certified around the country. And they know to treat the patient, not just the blood test, and they'll give the thyroid most of them when it's needed.
Yeah.
Number two, nutritional deficiencies. If you're low in vitamins and minerals, and heck, you're low in iron, people find their body craving them to eat dirt sometimes. So the other nutritional deficiencies, it's not dirt, it's worse, it creates sugar. So, you know, take the vitamin powder, the energy revitalization system vitamin powder I talked about. Again, you can get it at any health food store. My website, vitality101.com, has it. Easy to find. 1.5 to 1 scoop a day. Just add water is how I do it. And if there was ribosin, and you're going to find that a lot of that's going to take care of over 50 different nutrients and optimize them. And so it's going to settle down a lot of the food cravings. And it's also going to help you burn calories more effectively, especially things like iodine. Poor sleep. If you don't get enough sleep, you're going to have a 30% higher risk of obesity. And in fact, people who get adequate sleep as opposed to the average amount of sleep are going to be 6 pounds lighter on average. Mm-hmm. So you can actually sleep your way to skinny. So there's all kinds of stuff. Treat the yeast overgrowth that we talked about. Treat the insulin resistance. These are all the things you can do and more to boost your metabolism so that the weight can finally come down. We talk about all this in the book.
Yes, you do. And one of the things I think a lot of times, Dr. Teitelbaum, is people start off wanting to lose weight, but then they notice the side effects happening to their health. Things like anxiety and depression and of course, we've talked about CFS and fibromyalgia. All of those things start to get better, and they're like, what's going on? You know, it's like this miracle that just suddenly, and you know, they had headaches before, migraines, and those go away. It's just really neat to see kind of the unintended consequences of trying to fix obesity by eliminating the sugar addiction, and all these other things get better too.
Well, Jimmy, that's the thing. I don't have anything against sugar. I certainly don't want to take candy from babies. The reason I'm doing all this is because people get their life back when they do it. And like I said, there's all these things they never even associated. You know, all of a sudden their spouse is able to, like, say hi and talk to them again without getting their throat ripped out. The migraines from hell disappear. And you know, it's funny, when I was on CNN, the segment right before me, they were talking about a new surgery to cut out big chunks of your face muscles to decrease migraines by 50%. Mm. And, you know, when I went on, I had to bite my tongue. It's just sort of tacky to diss the person who was on right before you on CNN. So I had to, like, you know, not say that, well, vitamin B2 will decrease your migraines by 68%. Magnesium will decrease it about the same level. You don't have to have $20,000 surgery to cut your face apart and mutilate it. It's like, oh, you know, that's good. Medicine does me nuts sometimes. And I've been an MD for over 30 years now. Just, God bless a lot of really good people in a system that's really messed up. But these other things, you know, you'll find that these funny rashes you had that the dermatologist had, they go away. There's all these things. People just feel great. They get their life back. They feel a lot better.
Yeah. His name is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. The name of his book we've been talking about today is called Beat Sugar Addiction Now, the cutting-edge program that cures your type of sugar addiction and puts you on the road to feeling great and losing weight. Well, Dr. Teitelbaum, thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for, I guess, being a champion of the truth out there where, sadly, it's way lacking, and we need more people like you. We need more people like Dr. T to get out there and be in the national media espousing truths that, quite frankly, are changing the lives of real people every single day.
Well, Jerry, it's a pleasure, and thank you for the work you're doing. It's awesome.